nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, who will sing the hymn for us?
This hymn has been on my mind for days, and I've been opening, closing, singing, and everything. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise and to know Him, thus saith the Lord. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to trust upon His promise, and to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Thee more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. How so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood and His simple faith to plunge me neath an healing cleansing flow. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Thee more and more. Jesus, Jesus, blessed Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Thee more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Thee more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Righteous Father, we thank you. We say, hallowed be your name in Jesus' name. Let the lifting up of our hearts be unto you in Jesus' name. Our Father, we thank you. We adore you. Father, we love you. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
we're talking about, going back to our topic, the plan. And we want to contend for something. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You see, when you understand the beginning, you understand the end. Praise the Lord. See, when you understand, to understand the end of something, you need to understand the very beginning of the thing. You see, there's just an image of man on the earth. You know, that right now that seems to look like almost he's a beggar. You have to, even in prayer, you have to beg for everything. You know, you have to beg for everything. You have to beg for a job, for me to get a job. You have to beg for you to have a child. You have to beg for money for your wedding or stuff like that. Or you have to plead for the weather to be okay on your wedding day. Let it not rain. You know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, that is 100% far from the truth. Say it is 100% far from where? The truth. Even our concept of prayer, we need to have a reorientation. Praise the Lord. Yes. So man is not a pauper. Even though today sin and darkness has, you see, pauperized our soul. I don't know if that English is correct. Amen. Praise the Lord. The plan, you see, God began creation and God started alone. Praise the Lord. God started alone. Let there be, he kept creating up until day 5. Day 5 up until day 6. Immediately man finished creating man, the Bible says God rested and the works of God were ended. Right? Am I correct? That God ended his work on the sixth, and then God entered into his rest. And when God entered his rest, the work of man then began. Praise the Lord. Can you see? God ended his work on the sixth. God ended the work because of the perfect and the, let me see, okay, perfect in the sense of matured man. When man stood, when God finished making man, you know, then the hand of God ceased from labor. And after that day, it's going to be the hand of man that will be walking through God. In other words, God is going to be walking through the hand of that man. So, man is part of the creative process. That's what I'm trying to tell us. He's part of the creative process, part of the creative journey. So, when God finished making man, he said the work of God is, and that's the only time that God walked unilaterally, even in the scripture. Since the day man came to the stage, God never walked alone on it. Well, so long as the destiny of man and the earth is concerned. Everything that God would do after that time, after that moment, God was going to do it through man. And he was going to do it through the hands of man. So even the new Jerusalem you are talking about, you know, some of us want to just disappear and go to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to go to heaven. We want to go. Hope you have heard of the new heaven and the new earth. The new heaven and the new earth. And that new heaven and that new earth is not something God just stood up and just built it for you. After you finish living like a pauper on earth, begging from everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Begging for health, begging for this and all of those things, you know. Then you just escape and go to one place that God has created. No. It is the hands of God. God, even the new heaven and the new earth, amen. Man is part of the building process. Praise the Lord. Is there, is in your scripture, the new Jerusalem, you know, the city, I go to prepare a mansion. If I finish preparing it, I'll come back, and then I'll receive you to myself. Amen. Praise the Lord. So even the new heavens and the new earth, you know, is going to build it in conjunction with man. If you like, you call it the God-man, even the new creation, he that is in Christ is a new creation. So if you move from creation to redemption, even the redemptive work, now that we are born again, even the redemptive work, man is part of the process. Amen. Because it was done by the man Christ. The new creation, the process of redemption and restoring man, it was not done by God alone. It was done by God and man. The man Christ. Praise the Lord. So by the man Christ. So now, okay, all these things I wrote on the board, I will come to. So I want us to begin our understanding from there. You know, a puppet that God just drop one puppet, and then they need to give you biscuits. You know, they need to you know, they need to just plead and plead. We ask, you know, for things. Of course, we pray. You know, but now come to the content of what we pray for, the content of our prayer. You know, so don't forget that when God, man is, I told us, man is part of the creative journey. So it's like a baton. God holds one end of the baton, then man holds the other end of the baton. So, and then if you see now, if you look at Genesis 1, 2, 3, then right up to Genesis 4, say God made man in his image, and in his likeness. He gave him dominion and authority over the earth. So, if you look at Psalm 89, say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, you know, and the son of man that you visit him. Please, let's read that scripture. Go to Psalm 4. Psalm 8, sorry. If you see it before me, you can read it.
What is man?
What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou that visited him. That's us. Okay. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with the glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Okay. Can you see that verse? Can you look at verse 3 and 4? When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the star, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You look at verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. If you look at the Hebrews, Hebrew quoted this scripture. He said, you set him over the works of your hands. You make him to have dominion. This earth has a God, and the God of this earth is man. He said, have dominion, have the rulership of the earth. He said, control the destiny of the earth. He said, control the movement. He said, shaping the face of the earth. You know, of course, God created life in his rough form, but gave man the privilege to design the structure and the nature of life and the flow of life on earth. And that is what it is up to today. Praise the Lord. Gave man absolute liberty and absolute hand on earth, because the earth is man's dominion. The earth is man's privilege. So man was created to exercise dominion over the earth. He said, have dominion over the sea, over this, and over everything that creates upon the earth. The earth is God's gift to man. Amen. So until you exercise authority and dominion on the earth, you are not walking in the plan and in the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. So can you see? So if you want to live life like a pauper, you know, having the escapee mentality, it just happened to you. I was so lucky, you know. Thank God I was lucky, you know, I met this man, you know, and all of those things, you know. You living like a pauper. Well, pauper is a chronic beggar. Chronic beggar. And we transmit the same attitude into prayer. Into prayer. When you go to prayer, just please, you know, just, you know, like that. And we have that same mindset about going to heaven. We just want to escape into heaven. Just that I may make heaven. Praise the Lord. When God gives you authority, gives you his name, you know, gives you the redemption that is in Christ, ask you not only to come to heaven, that you should stay behind and bring so many people. The Bible talks about Jesus in bringing so many sons into glory. And what happens? He says, my Father has sent me into the world. Can you hear it? He said, the same way God sent me to the earth, that's the same assignment you have here. Jesus was not one pauper on the earth with one escaping mentality that you want to escape into heaven. May pleading that maybe things will fall to him in pleasant, that lines will fall to him in pleasant places. Maybe peradventure it will happen to him. That was the master, that was the owner, that was the controller on the earth. He said, who is this man that even the sea and the storm that they listened to him. Joshua was a man of like passion. He had to fight a battle. He said, let the stone stand still, because I have a warfare that I must accomplish. Amen. I read Benny's book one day. He said, God met him. God told him that with all the miracles he's doing, he said, one day God told me, I want you to start using your authority as a believer. He said, I give you authority, I give you power. And then that man is just sneaking about. You know, when the wife is pregnant, he's not even sure whether they will deliver. You know, he's already running from pillar to post. Maybe he had one dream. Amen. They have one dream and all of this. No. You know, praise the Lord. One dream, you know, like that. He's not sure of even life again. How do you know that our souls have been pauperized? You want to know it? Come to December 31st. When it's a few minutes to 12. See the way people are jumping and celebrating life. Amen. Amen. Life that is in absolutely your control. How long you live on it. When you determine your longevity on it. That you escape and make the new year. Amen. See the jubilee, I know that is the ignorance on the earth. The ignorance of man on the earth. All of those scream and all of those shout. It's not as if I don't scream. And you know, there's something just part of our culture. You know, but sometimes you enter into the anointing and speak from the place of understanding. Even this year now, 2018, now December 31st, I will still jump. Amen. 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 You know, something that's cultural. But beyond the things we do, we are people that have understanding. Amen. 5 years from now, I'm still here. Jesus does not count. 20 years from now, we are still here. Because there is a work that must be done. Praise the Lord. You know, can you see that you just make it into the new year? Just sneak, you know, into the new year. Many have died and all of those kind of beautiful, wonderful, you know, popularize their testimonies. That, you know, yes, so many were born the same time I was born. They are now dead and all. No, it's a privilege to be alive. That taking. But when you come into light, when you come into Christ, certain things are given. Praise the Lord. So man is not just something that will just drop on the earth, you know, and then living on handouts. Handouts from even God and handouts from angels. No, it's not like that. He himself is a governor. He himself is a controller. I say he determined the face of the earth. Man determined the destiny, not God. Though. Man, through God, determines what happens on the earth. You remember one time they were building a tower, go to Genesis 11:6. They were building the tower of Babel. Even in disobedience, look at the drama that came there. Genesis 11:6. God said, now nothing will be restrained from them whatsoever they imagine to do. And then God came down and scattered their work. He said, nothing will be restrained. Nothing can be held back from those men. That when he saw the unity, he said the whole earth was of one language. You know, of one language, of one voice. Those men were united. They said they want to build a tower that will reach into the heavens. And what God said, that nothing will be restrained from them in their fallen states and in the fallen nation. The Holy Ghost was not on them. The anointing was not yet there. Amen. You know, yes. The unlimited nation and capacity of God was not on them. But his man in his basic nature, as a man, he said, nothing can be held back from them whatsoever they have agreed on to do. Let's go down and confound their language. Let's stop them. And God stopped them. Today we say we are Holy Ghost filled, right? We are anointed, the Spirit of God is on us. Abby? You know, praise the Lord. Who is there? Who will help us to read that Genesis 11:6? Okay, Sister Tokoye, alright, thank you.
And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they believe, they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do.
He said, what will be restrained? He said, what? Nothing. You remember what Jesus was teaching us? He said, all things are possible to him that what? Can you see it was? He did not just begin there. You see, the basic nature of man, you know? Yes. The basic nature that man has, even without redemption, man in his raw state, he said there is no limit to what they can go on earth. Because why? The day God made earth. After he made earth, he made this. When man came to the scene, God transmitted everything over to him. God took the title document of creation and gave it to man. That now you are now the Lord and you are now the King. And for me to even do anything in creation, I need your permission. I need to come to you. That's why God wants to do anything on earth. He asks men to pray. even for his kingdom to come to hell. So why won't God unilaterally say he made the earth? Why won't God unilaterally carry his kingdom and dump it on the earth? He said he still needs man's agreement. Say thy kingdom come. Ask me for me to bring my kingdom. It's not as if God is more willing to bring his kingdom on earth than we are even willing to ask our impute. But God still needed the permission of man to come here. Praise the Lord. Even when man was lost and needed to redeem man, he had to become a man to do the assignment. Amen. He couldn't have commanded the work from heaven. He became a man to do that work. Because the earth is forever man's heritage. Say the heavens of the heavens belongs to God, and the earth has been given to the sons of men. And the scripture cannot be broken. God cannot go back on his word. Then he ceases to be God. That's Psalm 116 verse 15. Psalm 116 verse 15. If the devil rob us of understanding, or not even the, or if ignorance rob us of understanding, we'll live our lives on earth as victims and not victors. Victors. Man was part of the creative journey. What was part of the first work that man did? Apart from the drama of obedience and disobedience, the first work that man did that came out of man, you read the story of the creator. The God made the heavens, made the earth, did this. God made man. Even man himself, God made man. But what were the first work when man and man came together? What were the first thing they did? Man and man, when they came together, the first thing to do was to transmit the image of the creator on earth. They took, amen, praise the Lord. They transmitted the image of the creator on earth. He said, God, a man knew his wife. And out of it came what? Pam. Man, another man came out. Praise the Lord. You had a man made. He said, God made man and put it on it, right? When man and man came together under that synergy, they reproduced what God did in the very beginning. Amen. They reproduced what God did in Genesis 1-2. They put another man on earth. They transmitted the image. Praise the Lord. They reproduced the image of God back to earth. And when God made the first man, and said God ceased from his work. If God ceased from his work, that first man grew up and he died. You see, the continuity of creation was man is part of the creative process. The longevity, the continuity of what God made was continued by man. Because successive generation, man transmit the image of God back to the earth. Transmitting the image, even when the cause of death came to earth. So it's by transmitting the image of God back to the earth, transmitting, that's how the work of creation, the work that God did, he needed man to sustain it on the earth. That's why I say man is part of the creative journey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And like I posted something on our WhatsApp page last night, I said you needed a creator to continue and sustain the work of the creator. Amen. So when God made man, God made another creator on earth. He said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the creator. And when he finished all those things, God did the heavens, did the earth, and then the last work that God did, God reproduced another creator on the earth. Then God sees from his soul, that creator began working. Amen. That's the identity of man. You must know your identity. We must know who we are. And not just one people that just leave school and you are looking for. Of course, those are the realities of our day. But the realities of our day does not define our identity, does not define who we are. What defines our identity and defines who we are is to look back at the heart and the mind of God. Who man is. The fact that you are looking for a job does not define who you are. Does not define your identity on earth. The fact that Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head. Does not define his identity. The fact that he was hungry and had no food to eat. And was going to meet a fig tree to give him food to eat. Does not define who Jesus was on earth. That was the creator on the earth. He said by him all things were made. And nothing was made without him. I mean John 1 or something. In the beginning was the word was with God. And the word was God. It does not define his identity, who we are on earth. So the realities of on earth today does not define who you are. But most times we've taken our definition from them. Right? Yes. We've taken our definition from them. We've taken our clothing. We have robbed our identity. We are robbed by the things that happens on the earth. It doesn't define who you are. What defines who you are is what the word of God says about your life. Who God says about us. Praise the Lord. So I say God held the other end of the creative baton, God. And the man holds the other end. That's why the day man came on scene, God said, my work is ended. After today, this man that begins to walk. You see the story of redemption, it was man that did it, the man Christ. I go to prepare heaven, the new heaven and the new earth I'm going to prepare is the man Christ. And then we in him. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, I don't want to go into that one. One of these is I'm going to teach us the new heaven and the new earth. How it's in partnership with God and man that is going to build that heaven and the new earth. Partnership between God and man, you know. But let me just leave it there so that I don't derail from the flow of what we're saying. The flow of what we're saying. So, okay. Now, after God, I said God was the creator, right? And who we put on earth was another creator, Abi. He is the creator, Abi. The definite article, they. That's the creator. Then he now puts a creator on earth, which is you and I, which is man on earth. He now put a creator. And from that day, God began to teach man. You know, he began from day one, God began teaching man his identity on earth, who you are on earth. And up to today, that lesson has still continued. Because we never really learned it. When Jesus came again, he rewind and started that same lesson. You know, that's why they were so marveled. If they were looking at Jesus, and one thing they did not know is that Jesus was not just one man that came to show us miracle, to show us power. You know, no. Jesus came to show us our identity, who we are. The life Jesus simply lived was to show how bad this is your life. You see all those lives that Jesus lived on earth, all those things he did. You don't know, okay, one, the Messiah is trying to redeem us, right? But in the midst of all of those things, was a tutelage, was a teaching. That this is your life. This is the life of man. This is the identity. This is the destiny of man. Say, so who is this man? Not who is this God? That is wind and the storm. That they do what? They obey him. Jesus walks the earth in the order of men. That's why he was hungry. That's why I say he was in the boat and he was sleeping. He walked this earth in the order of men. That is the life that man ought to live. So Jesus simply came and showed us a snapshot of our life. This is your life. So when you look at Jesus, what do you see? Who do you see? Amen. Do you see your destiny? Do you see your life? Do you see your identity in him? You know, outside of the other reality that we worship him, he came and saved us, our savior. And you must see beyond that. That's the beginning, that's the first step, but that's not the end. The end of that thing, of that journey, of that understanding, he's the savior, he's the redeemer, you stop there. Amen. That means the purpose of God is not yet accomplished. You take a further step and move further and see your identity and see your image, you know, and see yourself standing in who Jesus was standing, the way and manner Jesus was standing. Then it is complete, then it is finished. It is finished. So man is not a pauper, he's not a beggar that God puts on earth. Jesus came to show that, Ben, this is who you are. And that's what he's saying, it's our example. It's our perfect example. Example unto what? Example unto your life and your destiny. Not just on earth, here and even in eternity. He said, I'm going to sit on throne, but you too, you sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see the kind of thing he was telling his disciples? I will sit on throne. You too, you sit on thrones. I will sit as a judge. You too, you sit as a judge, judging the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's why in the book of Revelation 20, he said, I saw him that sat on the throne, and then I saw thrones. You know, he said, and I saw other thrones, and men were sitting on those thrones. He said, he that overcometh, even like as I'm sitting down with my father on his throne, the same way we are going to sit down with me on my throne. You know, can you see? He began unraveling something. Jesus just opened what was just in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. Let's make man in our standing. Amen. When we stand the same in our own, in our equal standing, pray, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let him stand like us. You know? And then the earth is God. It's your gift. It's just like your house. Just like Brother Victor now. Just like me oppressing him in his own house. You know, demon can oppress you. Amen. Because we don't have understanding. They don't have right. Demons don't even have right to operate on the earth. You hope you are aware. You know, out of that ignorance and out of that darkness, that's what we call it, darkness. Say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's not because Satan has power. He didn't have power. It's deception. It deceit. What he did to Adam and Eve, he made them to start fighting God. And then they started going down. That's why he deceived them. He didn't confront them with power. He didn't have that power. He can't mash Adam in the realm of power. That's why he came and deception was lying. He was lying. Why is just simply do that? To make man to stand and start fighting God. Who resists the proud? Who resists the proud? God resists the proud. Satan just put pride inside of you. He knows that you are not fighting Satan, you are fighting God. Can you succeed? Can you succeed? You see all this one, not ignorance of the devices of the enemy. You see how he works? He just makes you to go against God. When Israel were coming out of Egypt, nobody could stand their way. Nobody, there was no power, there was no authority in heaven and on earth that could stand them. What he made them to do was to make them to turn their back on God and start fighting God. He started pushing them into sin. That's the meaning of sin. When sin, you turn your face against God, then God will be against you. He started pushing them into sin. You remember Balaam? Balaam now prophesied nothing could work. What did they do? The same Balaam now told them, Abi, say, start pushing women. Abi? Started pushing women. They started committing fornication. The same one that said that I did not behold iniquity in Jacob. Abi? He said the shout of the king is amongst them. He said the shout of victory, the shout of triumph. These people cannot go down. Immediately after all of those wonderful statements by God himself, they started going down. How? Because Satan, he started pushing women to them. Then they started, you can't fight God and succeed. That's God's Satan's ultimate strategy. He don't make you to turn against God. He said after he saved them out of Egypt, he destroyed them that believed not. Amen. It's not as if a superior power came to defeat them. If you read the book of Jude, he said after saving the people from Egypt, that God destroyed them that believed not. They did not believe him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So can you begin to see the flow, the arrangement of things on earth? You know, so men that latched onto this understanding, there is no limit to what they become in life. There is no height that they cannot ascend to. There is no width to which they cannot stretch forth their hand and reach. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be your brother's keeper. I know we had a very busy day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be your brother's keeper. Tap your brother if sleep is coming. Now, okay. Can you see now the... So I say the creator put a creator on it. I know. Like that, and I told about Jesus came to show us a snapshot of our identity, who Victor is. So when you see Jesus, the Jesus everybody is talking about, when you look at Jesus, you are seeing yourself, seeing your destiny, seeing your life. So when you even see the Jesus in glory, can you see that's the journey, that's the destination, that's where we are going. You see that book of Revelation, he said he saw the Son of God, his hair was white as wool. You know, his garments sparkling white, he said he could not even behold him. If you now read that same book, that's how the book of Revelation opened. But if you are going to the end of the book of Revelation, he said, I saw a white horse, him that was riding on it was clothed with white. You know, and I saw the armies that were in heaven. Right? That's you and I, you know, our spiritual identity in heaven. He said, I saw them also clothed the same clothing that Jesus was wearing. So when you see even they glorify Jesus in heaven, are you seeing your ultimate destination in life? Are you seeing where your life is headed to? You know, when God had this God and all of the truth, you saw the throne of God, you saw the image. God, can you see your ultimate destination? Something, you know? Oh my goodness. If you see it very well, even if they carry knife and shook into your tummy, you are still singing Amazing Grace. That's why they were killing those men, they were still singing hymns. Because it was clear, it was visible, they saw where they were going. They saw their destiny. They saw the end of the road that they were traveling. They killed this man, John Horse. As he was dying, he was singing a song, Jesus, that son of David, have mercy on me. They were burning him in the flame. And then he prophesied, he said, 100 years from now, I see a fire rising out of Germany. And 100 years from after he's dead, Martin Luther rose from Germany. The just shall live by faith. You know, the father of the Pentecostal movement. He was dying inside that flame and he prophesied. And he was singing him. Jesus, that's the thing, him is saying, Jesus, that son of David, have mercy on me. They were burning. One of these churches is full of so many glorious images. When they caught the tongues of men, they can't talk, but they were staggering and still praising God. Because these men saw the end of where they were going. Jesus himself saw it. Sometimes no house to sleep, no food to eat. Somehow abused and dejected and insulted by men. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him? He said he endured. Can you say the word? It was endured. It was not easy. The Bible says in the days of his flesh, he was crying. Those affliction that Jesus was, sometimes was crying. No, you didn't see it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if you open the book of Psalm, you see it. Sometimes Jesus would cry. The affliction was heavy. He said, that's what he would say in the days of his flesh. After he has offered up prayer and supplication with loud words, cry tears. You know, Jesus cried. But the same Jesus also saw where he was going. He said, who for the joy that was what? That was set before him. Endure the cross and despise the shame. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, this vision must be clear in our hearts. We must live with vision. You must be strong. For even before you say, okay, I'm a businessman, I'm into, like a lot of us say, I'm into a forestry, I'm into this and all of those things. You know, preceding those things you do. You know, you must have this victorious mindset, you know, this mindset that cannot be put down. Then the elements of life will start rearranging themselves to your favor. Our favor does not just come, because of course there's another force in their opposition in life. Things will just start rearranging themselves. Out of that understanding, child was not coming. Hannah, child will not come. He will sleep with the husband. Sleep with, she will even time it and calculate it when she has, when there are, you know, all those calculations. When it's her ovulation and all of this time, it, baby will not come. When one day they drop food, she packed the food aside. And she engaged destiny. When she stood up and left that place, she left that place with Samuel. Amen. Samuel and the rest of the child, they came forth. When she, amen. When she engaged destiny. Can you see? Understand? So we are not beggars. Even in prayer, when you begin to pray like that, oh Lord, joy, just please, and all of those things, no, those kind of prayers doesn't get answered. You may be lucky. Let me use the word, because you are looking for luck. You may be lucky and God will favor you. And God does not see as luck, he sees as favor. God may favor it and give it to you. But that's not a victorious path. You cannot be sustained like that. Who can live on handouts? You just get married now. You don't work. You don't do anything. You are just waiting as people come. Take this tubers of yam. They come again. Take this loaf of bread. Nobody lives like that. Amen. No, you don't live on handouts. I'm even talking about handouts from God. God will be giving you handouts. He does that, but that's not his will. He says he shows Moses his what? His ways, how to get it. How to get it and how to do it. But the children of Israel, those children, what were they seeing? They were getting handouts. Handouts. That's why they were saying, Moses, you go and hear him. Go and meet him. We are not interested. Just be giving us handouts. When we need water, just give us the water. But Moses knows how the water comes about. Praise the Lord. It's okay. This is introductory. Amen. So just laying the basic foundation, we will now build on it, you know. So now I say good. So let me come to this. I say what? Let me recap, then I'll now explain what I want to explain. I said all of the times in the one that I say the creator created another creator, right? The creator, amen. You know that which is come from you is you, right? Abby? If you bring out of a black something, what's the identity of that thing? It's not black. Eh? Abby? If you have a pot of white pap and you went and cut out a pap out of it, which color will be the pap? It's going to be a red pap. You have a pot of white pap. And you went and fetched out of that pap, what color will be? It will not be the same color as the other one. So if we came from God, who is the creator? So who are we? We are creators, right? Then from that day, God started teaching man his identity, who he is on earth. He has to start learning it. From day one, he has to start learning, even though the lesson was aborted. The tutelage was aborted by that sin and all of those things. But he was just teaching man who he is. And now brought same Jesus, he can start teaching us who we are. That's how we look at Jesus and say, I can do this thing. Jesus spoke to this, me too, I can see. He said, speak this and that. So we know, start learning and, you know, practicing, you know, like a trade. Let me show you, we became like tradesmen, I mean, tradesmen and tradeswomen. Craft. God started teaching us his craft, you know. Yes, that creative craft. So, I want to explain from the life of Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones. Amen. God showed me something very wonderful from that scripture one day. Now, I said, God started teaching man his identity, how to do things. So, now, look at Ezekiel 37. I may stop this talk there so that keep it as brief as it is. Then we'll now, you know, there are practical aspects of it that I want us to enter, but I may not. I'll just drop this here. I'll just provoke our spirit. Provoke our spirit. You know, yes. You know, sometimes you need to be angry in the spirit. That anger, that holy anger, will now move us into our destiny. Can you say Ezekiel 37? Look at what happens there. I say God does not just, even Jesus, those miracles, I say he does not do showmanship. He's teaching us. Teaching you that I can do it. So the same 12 men that Jesus, were they doing what he did after he left? The Peter, the Thomas, and all of them, were they doing what he did? They were replicating what he did. You know, like you are passing your craft, like a tradesman, passing his skills, you know, passing his hand, you know, handcraft. You know, to his tutelage. That's what God has been doing from day one, and we are still in that process. And then let's see what happened in Ezekiel 37. Are we there? Praise the Lord. Let me read it, or somebody wants to read it with a loud voice. Okay, hold on, bro. Ben, please come. Please come. Very wonderful, beautiful scripture. So, all right.
The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and he said to and say to them, O dry bone, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause bread to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on wings, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your grave and bring you into the land of Israel.
Praise the Lord. Robin, thank you. God bless you. You see, look at the drama that happened in this place. Amen. It was a replay of what happened in the story of creation. Now, this is simple. God took Ezekiel. Let me not use the word Ezekiel, because when you think, you've just been seeing that prophet. It's him. It's about Ezekiel. It's him. It's Ezekiel of those days. No. He said, God took man. That's why I use man. Because it's a living reality up until today. You see, God made man. He made the body of man, right? From where? From the dust of the earth. After God finished making the body of man, what was the next thing that God did? God breathed into the man became a living soul. You know? That was a creative platform. God took Ezekiel, God took man, and took him to the same platform in the spirit. He took Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones, dust. And he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel looked at you, oh God, you know, and all after those things. He said, now speak. He said, prophesy, speak to those bones. He said, the bones and bones began coming together. And everything came together and now became a body, but there was no breath. Amen. You still remember that picture in Genesis 2? God formed the body of man, but there was no breath. It was lifeless. So, Ezekiel, after speaking, he said, bone and bones came together, dust. Don't forget the bone is dust. You know? So, dust, everything, bone and bone, they came together. You know, formed together and became the body of man. There was no breath, there was no life. Amen. Then the next thing that God did was to work. God put breath in the lifeless body of man, and the man became a living soul. Then God took Ezekiel that you stand in the same platform that I stand. I'm the creator, you are a creator. Now begin to cough for from the four winds, the breath to come into man. Ezekiel now prophesied breath, and said breath came into, and then they stood up and became an exceedingly great army. In the case of God, it was one man. In the case of Ezekiel, it was a multitude of people that he raised up. Amen. And if you now read, he said, these are the whole house of Israel. You think it's the Jewish thing? No. You know, God was even, it was even a prophecy to how the new creation was going to arise. Don't forget, that one, there was no body before. God made man new and all of those things. But don't forget that the new creation in Christ, God will take the old creation, right? And turn into a new creation, right? So he took an existing army that was dead and lifeless, and he brought them into a glorious new army. Abi? He said, once I was dead, but now I'm alive in Christ. Amen. Praise God. So that was even a prophecy to the new creation. how God was going out of the old creation was going to raise a new creation. And that time it was not going to be done by God the same way God did it in Genesis 1 alone. But this time it's going to roll out from the lips of man. The new creation rolled out of the lips of man. Jesus, you understand, we accept the, we believe in Christ, we are able to see Christ, the man Christ, and believe in his work and confess it, will become a new creation, a new man, a new identity on earth. It was not done by God universally, it was done by God and man. He rose out of the lips of man. Amen. And that's why the day the Holy Ghost came, he came, then the Holy Ghost, the day after the apostle, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost came, the first thing he did was he prophesied. He prophesied, I told us that the new heavens and the new earth, God was going to make it, it's going to be a partnership between God and man. What was that prophecy? What did they saw? They saw cloven tongues, right? What did they saw? They saw what? He said he saw cloven tongues and was resting on each of them. Don't forget in Genesis 1, the Bible opened by what? There was a creative movement already, the Holy Ghost. That movement, that was a creative force. Before even God did anything, there was a movement on earth. And that movement, the Bible said, the Holy Ghost was moving on the face of the earth. That movement was a creative force on the earth. Then the word of God began coming. Let there be light. The word started coming. It was coming on the backdrop that there was something already on ground. That's why I call it a pre-existing movement. There was a movement on earth before the things of creation started seen. And that movement was the movement of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was moving in creative ability. The Holy Ghost was ready, was there to create. So as the word of God was coming, let there be light. Let there be this, let there be that. The Holy Ghost was creating. You now go to Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says the Holy Ghost descended like a rushing wind. There was a movement. The Holy Ghost was moving. The Holy Ghost was twice. The Holy Ghost moved in creative form in the Bible. The first one was in Genesis. The second one was in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost was moving in his creative strength and his creative ability. And then the next thing was the prophecy you saw, the cloven tongues. And it was resting on the heads of men. So that means, right? In that one, in Genesis, God spoke and the Holy Ghost brought it about. But in this new order, in this new creation, man will speak and the Holy Ghost will bring it forth. That was the prophecy you saw, cloven tongues, and it was resting on man. He said it was resting on the head of each of them. So can you see where we stand? So if we are not going with this attitude of, you know, let you understand, attitude of, you know, beggar and all of those things, even beggar in the spirit, even in our prayer, you know, God deliver, you know, this kind of God deliver me and all of those things, you know. Praise the Lord. You speak your way into destiny. You know, you say the word is near you, even in your mouth, the word of faith, you know, which you speak. Praise the Lord. Say, my Father will give you whatsoever you ask in my name. He said, ask and you have it. Ask and God gives it to you. You understand? He said, you only have to speak the word, you receive it. All men that received from Jesus, they didn't have to ask, and none of them asked two times. They asked only once. How many of you asked Jesus twice? Just once, that I may receive my sight. Once, they never asked him to. No man asked Jesus anything two times. Once, and they receive it. They receive it. Praise the Lord. So, back to the story in Ezekiel. Can you see the movement? So, God took man and took him to the same platform that he stood in creation, you know. And then, out of the mouth of Ezekiel, you see that dust to dust. Can you see? The body of man formed and became a lifeless body. That was the first thing. Then the second thing, Ezekiel prophesied breath, cough for breath. You know why? Because when God released that breath in Genesis, that breath was hanging in the realm of life. Then Ezekiel only spoke to that breath, and that breath came into man. Then the man became a living soul. Became a living. Then those multitude stood up. I don't forget, what am I saying? That from day one, God began teaching man. God began teaching man how to exercise dominion, how to exercise authority, that the earth belongs to you. You are the controller, you are the main man. You know, you are the main thing on earth. You are the controller, you determine. It's not God that determines what happened on the earth. He said, if two of you shall agree concerning anything on earth, it shall be done what? He said, it will be done if two of you agree. Those men agreed to build something. They were not redeemed men, no, they were not born again. The Holy Ghost was not yet there. That's a total different ball game. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a total different ball. Don't forget, I said that there was a movement before life, before creation, before anything came on earth. You see, there was a movement. There was that creative force, that Holy Ghost. You see, the Spirit of God was moving on the face of earth. That was a creative movement. And that movement is still on earth. That's why it's possible that men did electricity. That's what makes men to do GSM. You stand there and you are talking to somebody in America. Because that creative movement in Genesis, what I said, and the Spirit of God was moving. Where was he moving? He was moving over the face of the deep. And that movement has still not stopped. The Holy Ghost is still moving. The people that we believe, you know, and will rise up to do something, you discover that the ability to do it is there. It's that so all things whatsoever you believe, you shall what? You shall do it. He said all things are possible to him that believe. Do you know why it's possible? It's not strength in this our human earthly nature, earthly vessel. He said our earthly vessel. All things are possible because of this creative movement. The Holy Ghost was moving on the face of the earth. And when God spoke, let there be light, there was light. Let the vegetation appear, the vegetation appeared because of this creative movement. And up to today, that movement has not stopped. Whether you are born again, you are not born again. If you believe in that creative movement, you can do something. The man that did this Twitter, I read his account this week. Twitter, that man dropped off out of a New York University in America. He dropped out of school. You know where he dropped out? In 1999, he was just 23 years old. The man that did Twitter, his name is Jack Dorsey. You know, let me write it here for those of us that are internet savvy. Jack Dorsey. You know when he dropped out of school? He dropped out of school in his final semester. Do you hear me? When did I say drop out of school? In his final semester. Final semester. Here, our own semester is wrong for eight abi. Would you 8 semester, 4 year course? If it's 5 year course, 10 semester. To you know, in his final semester, he dropped out of school to go and develop his all those IT something, this Twitter in 1999. In 2006, he started developing some other programs, you know, how to get cab taxi online or the, and then ultimately he started the idea of Twitter when he was in that university. In his final semester. I keep wondering, why don't you Kukuma just finish it, Nabi? So that I can even get this certificate. Can you see how men thinks? Can you see the kind of thinking that can prevail in life? You know, when you hear the thing called paradigm shift, believers who carry the whole nation, old identity, into the new believer identity. Even it's reflecting even in our prayer life. Even our prayer life. If you hear our prayers, you know that these are paupers, these are beggars. These are not dominion, these are not thrones. These are not authority. Hope you know that you are thrones, you are authority, you are dominion. You think you are wrestling not against flesh and blood, we wrestle against principality. No, you need a principality to fight principality. We wrestle against flesh, principality, we wrestle against thrones, dominion, power. You need power to fight power. He said, I give you power to overcome all the power of the enemy. So it's going to be power versus power. So when you hear principality, thrones, you are thinking of demons. You hope you know that even you yourself, you are thrones. You are dominion. You are principality, you are powers. Amen. You know, can you see? So I say the man Jack Dorsey, he left 1999. He floated the idea of Twitter in 2006, after 7 years. Don't forget where he came from. His final semester, he dropped out of school to pursue creativity. So he floated Twitter in 2006. I saw one of his picture in 2011 when the United States President Barack Obama, they were in one Twitter town hall meemeeting. Where they are showcasing Twitter, that after 5 years after floating Twitter, the United States president was there. That man was 35 years old that time. I just saw the picture where Barack Obama was there, 2011. They say the guy was standing beside him and Barack Obama was on the platform, you know. They say it was a Twitter town hall meeting, 2011. That's about 12 years later, after he dropped out of school to pursue creativity. Then, in 2008, I was looking at his net worth. That man is 41 years old today. As of now, and the man is worth $4 billion. He's 41. $4 billion. The man that floated the idea of Twitter. You see the way man thinks. We know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can't live on handouts. You can't. You know, I say something that mediocrity is an insult on the genius of God, and that you can't be one. Praise the Lord. What did I say? I said mediocrity. Let's echo it together. I said mediocrity is an insult on the genius of God. I said you can't be one. You can't be one. Mediocrity is an insult. It's an insult on God. Today, man is worth $4 billion. What, you know, where am I bringing it out. I say he left school in his final what? Final what? Semester. Just like I say, find your final exams to become a medical doctor. I was watching the news recently, like last week or thereabout. I saw one young man too. They want the, you know, they want the Iranian, one of the rising Iranian entertainment sports now. It's what we call e-sports. I don't know more if it's e-sports now. Go and Google it. He said he was a, you know, he was the coach of the team, the guys that won that, the championship. He's rising now, they are pumping money into it, e-sports. You know, where creativity, where people press, in all this, the way they play this football now. All this e-football that you play, you know, you play Barcelona and all of those kind of e-sport. There's a way they do it, you know, like people come to watch it now. It's growing now. Smarter now, they'll be filling stadium. They're already filling venues now, e-sport. You know, sometimes they do like war. Maybe they can simulate war. People come out, it's rising so much now. So I saw the man that won the championship. They were talking about it like that. And I saw his coach, a young man too. He said he was a medical student. He had to drop out of medical school to pursue this passion, e-sports. Was in medical school student. He dropped out. I'm not saying you should go and drop out of school. But I'm showing you people that he said all things are possible to him. He said to the believer. He said to the child of God that believes. He said to the believer that believes. He said to the man that is speaking in tongues that believe. He said he's talking to man. He said all things are possible to him that what? All things is possible to him that believes. He's talking to man. God put him, when he puts man on, he puts the creator on earth. Don't forget Genesis 11:6. Even when they were disobeying God, even in disobedience, God looked at them. He said, nothing can be held back from this man. He said, not, it's God that spoke. Oh. He said, nothing can be restrained from them that they have imagined. That the ability of those men is equal to their imagination. Can you say imagine? You know, imagination is higher than what you can do. He said, God said their imagination is equal to their ability, what they will do. If those men imagine that they can fly in the sky, one day they will fly you, and one day they began flying, and that's the aeroplane that you are having today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not surprised though. If you can, there are something you can put on your leg now. Maybe you put something on your feet, and you can be flying in the atmosphere. I'm not surprised if man gets there. Maybe there are certain things you wear can begin to gravitate and beat the law of gravity and fly you into the sky. Then you now put something like oxygen in your nose so that the atmosphere will not choke your breath. Absolutely nothing is impossible to man. Because in those days you told men that they can fly in the sky. No, look at it now. Even GSM, even this video call. You have been seeing someone in America, you've been seeing the person live. Those days you will not believe it. He said the ability of man is endless. It's endless. You know why? Because of that creative movement in the beginning. Amen. They said the Holy Ghost was moving on the face of the earth. That was the creative force. The creative power of God was moving. Any man that tapped into that creative force can do anything. That is it. And those are those men that have believed and they've done it. So the man said he dropped out of medical school to push. He now was the coach. And then his boys that won, you know, that championship and all of those things. You know, look at what he's even making waves today now. This football. You know, those days there was not even football. Man, somebody stood up and did creative idea. Let's do this round ball. You play. Let's organize ourselves. They started playing football. Hope you know the worth of football today. Hope you know the strength of football on the earth today. That one has nothing to do with classroom. It didn't come out of any university. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then just sat down and said, okay, before you know, look at creativity. Men created something out of nothing. Look at the way men gathered. Have you seen stadium? See matured men wearing suit and tie. You know, looking at them washing 12 people, you know, pushing leather up and down, you know, and who was somebody, let me put it behind the net and all of those things, you know, what the dignity in those things. But it's a creation. Men created something, you know, that met the hunger in the hearts of people. Amen. Can you see it? How was it? What makes it possible? He said the Spirit of God was what? Moving. That is still moving on the earth. Victor is still moving. There is no limit. There are things we will not do, but our children will rise up and they will do it. They will do them. Because they believe enough to rise up to engage their hands and engage their mind and they get it done. He said, there is no limit to man on earth. All things are possible to him that believeth. To him, to the man that believes. To the man that believes. It's not the exclusive privilege of believer because you are born again. No, that spiritual pride. I'm a child of God. Look at all these unbelievers. The vehicle you are riding, the vehicle you want to buy, you are praying night and day, believing God to buy, you discover an unbeliever that made it. but you are full of prayer points because you want to even have one. So as an unbeliever, that he stood up and crafted it out. All things are possible to him that was that believer. The Panadol you are taking, you are sick, and all of those things. Sometimes you go and meet doctors that even they are not even believers. They are the ones that will bring that baby out of your tummy. You are, you know, spiritual pride. Let's lay it aside. And let's go back to the basic, and let's go back to the beginning. He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let him stand like we stand. Let him have our authority. Let him have our dominion. Let us make thrones. Let us make principality. Let us make power. And then roll it out on earth. So when God wrote man out on earth, he wrote that power. You know, he wrote that an endless ability. There is no limit to what that man can make on earth. And we have seen it today. The evidence of it is everywhere. Everywhere. Today they can do heart transplant. They carry heart from one man and put it in another man. How many of us have had what you call cloning? They clone a whole human being. How many of us have had robotics? They make robots that can interact with man. You say, Abe, good morning. How are you? I'm fine. Abe, welcome back from work. A robot is talking to you. Machines and engine has the ability to speak. Has ability to speak in words. Robots. Robotics is made by the hands of men. Hands of men. Amen. They cannot make it exactly the way God made it. But somehow they do something. Amen. They do something that will have the resemblance, that will have the figure of what God himself has made. He made robots. Robotics. Interacting. You want to buy something in the supermarket, he will sell it to you. He will give you money, give you change. In the likeness of what God has made. Can you see what God wrote on the earth? He's not a pauper. It's not a beggar that he rolled onto the earth. Any small thing, you know. Can you see the whole concept of our prayer? We must get it right. For those of us that have not gotten it right, you are in school, 20,000, 100,000, no job. We are living in a jobless economy. You are in school, you are full of fears. Will I get a job and all of those things? Those are the things that dominate your mind. That means you have forgotten your identity, who you are. You are the governor. You think it's Akati that is the governor. Don't forget you are the governor. One day I'll teach us on judges. Judges. I'll teach us on judges. Please remind me. Judges. Teach us on judges. Praise the Lord. Judges. Amen. So, I said that movement continues. And that the same thing happened in Acts 2. He said, don't do anything until you are endued with power from on high. I said, two times the Holy Ghost invaded the earth. He created what? Strength. And he created what? Force. The first one, Genesis 1, 2. The second one is Acts what? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The second one is Acts chapter 2. He said the Holy Ghost descended like a rushing mighty wind. And then he saw cloven tongue. Then men began speaking. Peter just spoke. Amen. Peter Peter spoke and the new creation appeared on the earth. Right? Yes now. The new creation. He that is in Christ is what? 3,000 were born in one day. Peter just spoke and the new creation appeared on earth. Hope you are aware that that new creation was not seen before. Apart from when Jesus came and those disciples he raised, he said, you are clean, because he was the master himself on earth. And he raised those 12 men and some of those men that believed in him. The master himself was here. So he raised those men and transformed them. But outside of that, that new creation was not seen before. But when Peter opened his mouth and he spoke, and don't forget, the Holy Ghost was here, and then he said 3,000 new creation. That is Christ in what? That new creation is a new man. Then 3,000 new men were born on the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, one man was born, right? One man. But when Peter opened his mouth to speak, standing in the same platform that God stood in Genesis 1, when he was speaking, let there be. And when Peter stood in that same platform in Acts chapter 2, Peter spoke. The 3,000 new creation, new men on earth, appeared on earth. And up to today, from the lips of man, new men are appearing. Amen. I became a new man. I was dead. I became a new man because I had a man speak. A man spoke to me and I believe and I become a new man. Another new man was born in me. Can you see that's what Ezekiel was doing? He said he told Ezekiel to speak. You know, in the beginning it was God that was speaking. Let there be, let there be. The Bible said God has not speaking. No. He said God rested on the seventh day and ceased from his own work. After that seventh word, the pool began speaking, man began speaking. Who began walking? Man began walking. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? And that's why Ezekiel took Ezekiel to that same platform in the spirit. Ezekiel formed the body of man by the word of his mouth. And he crafted spirit into that man by the word of his mouth. Right? The same platform, a prophecy of what we saw the fulfillment in what? Peter did it in Acts chapter 2. 3 new people were born on that day into God's kingdom. Can you see the beauty of it? Can you see? Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we together? So don't allow all those small something that maybe to don't allow the earth to define your identity. Allow God. Allow the word of God. Allow God's eternal purpose. What did God have in mind when he was even starting the whole thing at all? Let that thing come into your understanding, come into your heart. That's where you derive your identity from. That's where you understand man from there. If not, you miss the whole point. I said you don't start understanding anything from where? From the middle. You understand it from the beginning. Right? You go back to the beginning. If you want to understand man, if you want to understand life, if you don't understand the earth, you have to journey back to the beginning. Then from the beginning, you cannot travel into the future. And even understand the present where we are. If you want to understand the man, those where you have to go back to those places. Those places, those sacred places of the beginning. What did God have in mind? What was he thinking? He just saw, he think he saw one idle man. He didn't know what to do. Let there be light, and there was light. Let the firmament appear. Maybe he think it's one idle man that is still talking. Something like that, the kind of mentality we have. He had something in mind. If you look at who God is, he's deep. God is an everlasting depth. He was coming from somewhere, and he was going to somewhere. Hope you know that God was not born in Genesis chapter 1. The first day. You know, God was living before the first day. Amen. So what was how do we call those ones? We just discovered that the evening and the morning was the first day. But he has existed before that day, and there was no day. Amen. There was no qualification for it. It was a day. God called the first day because God started to do something he wants to do. He began doing something. He started a journey. He started a walk. That's the first day. It's just like my first day in school. The first day that my son went to school, was that the first day of his life? Was it not existing before? But he wanted to do something. That's like God wanted to do something. That's why he called the first day. He said the evening and the morning was the first word day because God did something, right? The following day, he did another thing. They said the second day. It was his work that was captured into what called day. Day. Can you see? Because he did something, but God was existing before that time. So that's why I say, let's go back to that time before day one. What was he having in mind? What was he thinking before he appeared on the stage, on the scene? And now start saying, let there be light. And now start calling the first day. He has something in mind. You need to, that's why I even call the beginning. The beginning is not day one. No. Let there be light. That was not the beginning. No. We have to travel beyond that point. Back to what was God having in mind? What was he thinking? And when he now being crafted the whole idea of let's make man, let's make the earth and all of this. Now, handed the earth and they gave it to man. Then you start living from that realm. That is the victorious realm. They cannot put you down. Even if they naked you. Even if they naked like the naked Jesus, you still be speaking, you know. You still be speaking with authority and with power. Amen. I am the light of this world. When he was not even recognized in government offices. You know, we hope you know the Roman Empire was there. Hope you know they had system of government. Even his voice was not even recognized in the temple. It was his power that they were knowing. Abi. In the temple, they have their religious hierarchy. It was not recognized in their religious hierarchy. Even their government hierarchy was not even known. But he still stand and say, I'm the light of this world. Even when they naked him, he still said the same thing. He has a man that had understanding. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's what Satan always tried to corrupt. He hands out another identity to you. That's why people become so sheep. You know, sell their body for all kinds of things. Going to join cult society because they want power. Because you know they have demented, paralyzed their understanding. Praise the Lord. Because you get a higher power in God without paying any price. You don't have to sacrifice your child, kill your child, kill your mother to get money. To get what they are giving to you free of charge. You want to go and pay those kind of sacrifice to get a cult. Go and get power, to get money. Sacrifice your only child, or your daughter, or your firstborn. To get the same thing that they're giving to you free of charge. God is giving to you free of charge. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's pray. Let me just drop this here. Provoke your thought then. As we meet in subsequent meeting, we'll take part two of it. Amen. We'll start going to specific things and start looking at example and everything. We'll start going into specific things of it. But don't forget all things are possible to him that what? Believes. Yeah, that is man in his basic element and nature. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to pray? Hope even what say creation. I say man is a creator. Hope even though a good marriage is a product of creation. When a man and a woman get married, They are going to determine the how their marriage is going to look like. Bro Ben, hope is the two people that will create the identity of their marriage. If it's going to be a peaceful marriage, if it's going to be a fulfilling marriage, you know that it has to be created, right? Or when you marry, automatically they give it to you. When you get married, automatically, will they give you a successful marriage? Eh? Will they give you a fulfilled marriage? It has to be created. Amen. You create your world. Oh, if you start a career, automatically they will carry you and take you to the top of the career. You have to rise through the ranks. You have to be productive. Bro Victor, you are working. But automatically they will make you the MD of the company. From MD, they will make you regional director of your company. You have to create it. You have to create it. It's going to be a product of creation. You are a creator. You create homes. You create jobs. You create success. Let us make a creator after the image of the creator. In the name of Jesus. 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 I awaken. We awaken all our graces, all our powers to walk in dominion. To walk in dominion. You want to get married? You are still scared. Marriage is not good, though. Marriages are bad, though. You don't know your identity. God has called you to create that marriage, to create the home, the perfect home, the good home. That's your calling. Nobody will hand it over to it. Hand it over to you. You will create it. You will create it. You start a business. Nigeria is, people tell you Nigeria is so bad, business has not succeeded. You don't know your identity. You don't know who you are. Out of nothing. You have a calling to create something out of nothing. Create businesses. Even in this, in Nigeria, no matter how bad Nigeria is, you have a calling to create things. Bring forth in this Nigeria. God is not limited by place. It's not because you are in America you succeed. God is not limited by place. And God is not limited by resources. So Nigeria is not a limitation to God. It's not a limitation to the creative abilities in God and the creative abilities in man. Nigeria is not a limitation. Resources is not a limitation. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. You have a calling to be a songwriter or to produce songs. Even before you put pen and paper, before you even start practicing, you see this understanding. This understanding, this violent understanding. Let me tell you, it will pull forth song from the four corners of the earth. When you release it on earth, all over the earth, men will be listening to that song. This understanding. Songs that have not been written in the spirit realm. It will drop on your lips. This is radical understanding. You are called to be a songwriter. You are called to write books. You have a passion to write books. You will write a book. It will not be like any other book. When men read that book, when they open that book, that's the kind of ability we have inside, in our belly, in our bosom. What say the scripture? It says, let this mind be in you. The same mind that was in Christ. Have you read that Bible before? Have you read that portion of the Bible? Let this mind be in you. That is in Jesus. Oh, you become another Jesus on earth. When you have the mind of Jesus, you reason like Jesus. You do the things that Jesus does. You walk like Jesus on earth. Become another Jesus on earth. You are not a beggar. You are not a pauper. In the name of Jesus. We arise. We rise up in our God. We take the fortresses of our destiny. We take the fortresses of our identity. Our identity in God and in life. In the name of Jesus. My sister says she makes hair. She makes hair. When you have eaten this kind of understanding, you will make hair. The whole world will want to come to you to make the hair. Because power is behind what you are doing. Power, that power we saw in Genesis 1-2. The Holy Ghost, the creative force, is behind you as you make hair. As you plait hair for people. Oh, you are plaiting hair. Back, carry it. Strengthened by the pre-existing movement, the creative force, the Holy Ghost was moving on the face of the deep. Can you begin to live out of that pool? Out of that pool, out of that movement. That movement is still on earth. The Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God, the endless capacity of God, the endless abilities of God, the eternal power of God, the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the earth. Acts chapter 1 verse 2. The Spirit of God descended like a mighty rushing wind. The wind of creativity, the wind of power is here and now. Can you rise in that strength? Rise in that understanding. Rise in that ability and begin living your life. Begin building your marriage from there. Begin building your relationships, even your courtship. Build courtship in this strength. Those of us that are yet to marry, those of us that are married, can you build your homes and marriages on this strength, on this foundation? Your life, your jobs, your secular vocation, your life, the works of your hands. Can you begin from this foundation? Even raising your children. Can you raise your children on this front? In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Bless you. Pray. Take time to pray. Pray, activate. This prayer now, I'm not saying you ask God. Activate what is inside. By the power of God. Activate what is inside. He that is in you. What is in you is greater. It's greater than all things that have yet been seen on earth. He that is in you is greater. It's greater than he that is in the world. What is in you is greater than the things that are in the world. So you can still bring forth greatness. We all can still bring forth greatness. The greater one is inside. Greater things are inside. Can you begin to activate them? Can you begin to bring them forth? In the name of Jesus. Activate and provoke them to come out. Provoke them to come out. By fire. By force. By force in the name of Jesus. Make a tata lip. Lip up on the cup. In Jesus' name. Come forth. Come forth, Abba. Hey. I want to hear your tongues. I want to hear your tongue. The force of life is at work in me. The force of God, the force of creation is finding expression through me. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Greater is God who lives in me than he that lives in the world.
I want to hear your tongues. I want to hear your tongues.
I begin working in understanding, not because I am a Christian, but I am a man. And the record was here. In the case of both, it's a Marato Shapadabanaba, Emerato Seborianta, in Katagada, Matabo Seteria, or Rupe Media Fender.
Yes, Father, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Continue to speak. In Jesus'
life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Nation on your heart.
Oh, Lord.